As you know, the 2024 legislative session wrapped up earlier this month, and we want to look at some takeaways when it comes to you, the consumer, and local businesses in our state. We have the Department of Consumer Protection here for the state of Connecticut, our monthly check-in with Commissioner Brian Caffarelli, who is back on WICC. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, Melissa, good morning. Great to be here. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, I have to say, Brian, we had not really discussed this ahead of time, but kudos to your office. I'm really trying with this legislative session and, of course, moving forward on the show to really break down what in the world goes on in Hartford. And the reason being is there's so much chaos, right? I mean, I think even lawmakers at some point are like, oh, I don't actually know if there's an update on this or that. So there's so much happening, even though it's a short session, and it's very hard for the average person in Connecticut, even myself as a news reporter, to keep track of what's happened. What does this mean for us? So I really appreciate your office breaking down bills, legislation, changes even that are going to impact the average Connecticut resident. So thank you for that.
You're very welcome. And yeah, you're not alone. It is very hard to follow even for some of those inside the building. So it's frenetic, and it goes at a very, hurried pace through the committee process. And it ended last Wednesday, actually. A week ago right now, they were still in. And it goes till midnight per the Constitution. And I'll tell you, they run up to that clock.
Yeah, they do.
And so
it's wild.
To sort it all out is a bit difficult. So we're here to help a little bit with that. So.
No, and we appreciate that. We do. So Commissioner Caffarelli is here. Let's start, first of all, with, I know you've already been sending out information from the department, including a press release regarding THC-infused beverages. Could you, first of all, just summarize what this law changes? What is this about?
Yeah. So, well, first, I do want to thank the legislature, the General Law Committee, the entire legislature for their collaborative efforts to address this complex issue. I think we've talked about it before, and I seem to recall you had the attorney general on. The cannabis market is new. It's emerging. There's a lot of questions about it. And so they're working to put some clarity on, into it. And one of the issues that's come up is the seltzers that are infused, non-alcoholic seltzers that are infused with THC. It could also be called hemp derived or Delta 8, Delta 9, Delta 10, THC, all these different names. But it covers all of that. And essentially what the bill does is it ultimately by October 1st, it makes it so that these products are only able to be sold to people 21 years or older in package stores or the cannabis retail market. So it takes it off the street, if you will, kind of out of the convenience stores, and it's becoming widespread. So the bill became effective when the governor signed it on Saturday. And so we're easing into it. And I do want to give kudos to the staff here at DCP to work quickly to get the word out. And so there is kind of a multifaceted an introduction of this, if I could just kind of take a minute to outline that for you.
Yeah, so, I think that would be great. And again, we have the commissioner for the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection, Brian Caffarelli, here, and we're talking about THC-infused beverages. So, yes, please kind of outline that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so what you'll see is that after July 1st, THC-infused beverages can only contain 3 milligrams or less of THC. So up to now, prior to last year, it was fairly, unregulated in terms of the seltzers. And so we were finding seltzers that contained, upwards of 30, 40, 50, 60 milligrams of THC. And to put it in perspective for you and the listeners, the dosage in the gummy form that you could buy in the licensed market is 5 milligrams. So that was a lot of THC, and people who are not experienced with the product, found themselves in a state where they didn't know what was going on. So it after July 1st, 3 milligrams of THC can be sold by cannabis retailers and package stores. Up until then, through June 30th, they can be sold with certain restrictions on them, which we've been sending out notices to kind of detail that to the to the businesses. But most importantly, the new law creates a regulatory framework for these beverages that will include testing and labeling requirements so that you know exactly what's in it. And as I said, preventing the sale of THC to minors. And it will be limited to those package stores and those who participate, those in the regulated market. So the retail shops that you see of the cannabis.
Okay. And I would imagine that they are very well aware of this. I mean, this is something, as you mentioned, the Attorney General and yourself, you've been putting this information out there and some of the products that are really impacting, especially our youth. So I would think local businesses knew this was coming.
Well, I mean, I don't know is the answer. I mean, they know that it's been on the minds of policymakers. And so really, you know, the session sorted that out. There were a lot of different iterations of how to address the issue of, you know, where seltzers could be sold, what to do with the illegal products. And so, you know, this was the compromise, and I think a good one that, you know, makes sure that these products, the seltzers that are legal and allowed to be sold in Connecticut, will be in establishments that require you to be 21 to enter. And other than that, you're not able to buy them. You know, people ask about those, you know, lookalike products, the Doritos and the gummies that you see. That,
right.
You know, sometimes they're in the vape shops. They're totally illegal. So, you know, it's black and white. You know, when we find them, we take action against them along with our partners in other agencies and the Attorney General. So, but this seltzers are, you know, the policymakers decided that they are legal within certain confines of the regulatory scheme that I outlined. So, you know, you'll see that happening throughout the summer. We've been communicating with those who currently have the seltzers and who are interested in buying them. And I, you know, I think that there could be a little confusion, but we're working hard to make sure that all the questions are answered.
We have Commissioner Brian Caffarelli here from the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection getting some legislative updates after the 2024 session wrapped up earlier this month. Turning now to whether or not any changes are on the way when it comes to improving the pharmacy experience for consumers. First of all, let's talk about the pharmacy experience for the average Connecticut resident, Brian, and where do you feel we're sort of missing the mark? And then I guess the follow-up is, are we going to see any changes to it?
Well, so the pharmacy experience, I think overall, is a good one, and we're blessed with great health care in Connecticut. But as most people who, you know, go to the pharmacy, even just for a one-off prescription, know that the pharmacists tend to be kind of overwhelmed, and it's just the pace at which most pharmacies run is just warp speed. And so there's a lot going on, and kudos to the pharmacists for the job they do. But sometimes there's wait, you know, if you try and call or when you go in to pick up or if you want to talk to the pharmacist. And so one of the ways in a bill that was passed that the agency had worked with the committee on to talk about some relief to give to pharmacists is to provide highly trained assistance to pharmacists. So what we've done is crafted a new credential. So this what is called an advanced pharmacy technician credential. And ultimately, we believe it's going to result in better services for customers.
And why? So, like, what does the credential do?
It's a great, that's a great question.
Help me, Brian, to understand what in the world you're talking about.
So it's kind of a, you know, a hybrid between the clerk and the technicians that already exist and the pharmacist. So it allows individuals who have the requisite training and competency to assist the pharmacist with more steps in the process so that they could be freed up to do kind of the final checks and the consultations. So will it be perfect? No. I mean, it's not going to be night and day when you walk into the pharmacist because ultimately we've got to get these people in place. But the pathway is there. So it allows these advanced pharmacy technicians to dispense, to actually, you know, finalize the dispensation to patients, their prescription drugs. I mean, think about it as, you know, in kind of a very rough manner, a physician's assistant to a doctor, right? And so it is a, you know, a higher level of competency of an individual that has the practice and skill set that can work in the pharmacy alongside in conjunction with the pharmacist so that it can provide kind of an extra set of hands and eyes to make the process a little more efficient and accessible to people, because the pharmacies are doing more and more these days. So, and on top of the regular prescriptions, they're able to provide some vaccines. They do some limited testing. And so people go there for a host of issues, and especially in some rural areas where it's much easier to access the pharmacy, which, you know, is on pretty much, you know, there's several in every town.
Yeah.
And so it's a great thing. I think that people will, you know, ultimately notice some relief in the pharmacy, and it should be a better experience for consumers.
Well, that's
so we're
great.
We're very excited about that.
So when does this new credential roll out? Like, was it effective immediately? Or, I mean, when would we start seeing, I guess, more of those opportunities arise at our local pharmacy?
So the licensing scheme, you know, structure is being implemented now. And
okay.
So this will roll out throughout, you know, internally throughout the summer. And then you'll probably begin to see these in the fall. So, you know, but there's a pathway and kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. So, you know, we're, again, incremental steps, but, mm-hmm. you know, you got to start somewhere. And I think that this is a great one.
And is this going to be at every pharmacy, Commissioner Caffarelli, or is this for the majority of them? Because we do know there are some that are, you know, mom and pop, like owned, you know, very, very locally owned, not, you know, the big name CVS, Rite Aid that
yeah.
I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I suspect. So let me be clear. This is not a requirement on any business.
It's, okay.
It's just an opportunity.
Yeah.
So if they want to engage an individual and credential them in this fashion, they're able to. And you're right. I think that, but if mom and pop pharmacies, if you will, are running just fine, they don't have to do this. But if they could see the value in it, I think that they could take advantage of it as well. But I suspect that the chains will see the value in this. And the conversations that our Drug Control Division, who just does an unbelievable job day in and day out, they have been very receptive. And we work very closely with industry participants when we, you know, on any issue like this. So mm-hmm. there is a lot of buy-in.
And again, we have Commissioner Brian Caffarelli here for a couple more minutes with the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection. Let's tackle really quick, Brian, the House Bill 5236, an act concerning the Department of Consumer Protection's recommendations regarding consumer protection and professional licensing, certification, permitting, and registration. Good grief. So in layman's terms, Brian,
title, huh?
Right? I mean, seriously, it's quite sexy for sure. So, I mean, tell me if you can, Brian, what in the world did I just say, and what does that mean for the average Connecticut listener?
So it means it means a lot of things. Well, and I'll just highlight a few. There are a lot of good improvements to some of the, you know, subject matters that the agency covers. One, and one of my favorite laws, is the Get One Free law. And so it extends. So what that is that if there's a product in a consumer commodity, so think like a grocery store, and you see it on the shelf for $5 and it rings up for $6, the store has to give you that product free. Because, you know, that's just the law, is that they, you know, to keep them honest, or, you know, make sure that they maintain the integrity of their pricing systems. So it only applied to really the larger stores. The threshold was at square footage and a couple other things. But this makes it applicable to consumer commodities by expanding it so that it applies to more, you know, stores that were kind of falling under that threshold. So it's not a huge thing. You're not going to run into it every day. Sometimes, you know, they're required to put a sign up on the store. Sometimes they say it's the policy of the store. Really, it's the law that, you know, if they advertise something on their shelves and they ring it up at a different price, you know, they've got to give it to you for free. So sometimes they'll offer to say, oh, I'll give it to you at the right price. No. The law is that you get it for free. And that's kind of the, you know, the punishment that goes right into the consumer's pocket that, you know, to keep the stores honest, because a lot of people aren't paying attention. And so, you know, we want to make sure that to the extent these, you know, we can engage the public as secret shoppers, if you will, and make sure that, you know, if this happens, that they can, you know, there's some recourse immediately for them. And a couple other things it does quickly is we have a home improvement guarantee fund. So if you hire an individual Not an occupant, not like a plumber or HVAC or electrician, but like someone to do work on your roof or a deck.
It's like a contractor.
Yeah. So we call them home improvement contractors.
Yeah.
So if they're registered with the agency and you hire them and something goes sideways and, you know, they take a deposit from you and leave the state, say, and you get a judgment from a court or administrative hearing like that we will hold, you have access to a guarantee fund for up to $25,000.
Wow.
So you're not out the money. So we will give you, after you get administrative judgment or something from the court, that money that you're out of pocket, and then we'll go after the bad actors.
Wow.
So that, you know, it's a great program that, you know, a lot of people have used because, it, you know, for many people save a lot, take a lot of time saving money to do these home improvement projects. And if they get stiffed,
oh, it's
they're
the
really
worst.
In a bad spot.
It's one of the worst scams right now. It's one of the worst scams right now. And you know, I am curious, though, Commissioner Caffarelli, because I would imagine you're going to get inundated with calls about that one. Is this effective going forward? Or if there are people even in the last year that have had this happen, they can apply for that?
It exists. So if it's happened, reach out. What this does, it makes it easier for you to, the consumer, to access the fund. It speeds up the process so you have access to the money a little quicker. Some nuances that I know we're short on time, I won't get into. Similar things, there's a health club guarantee fund. So if your gym closes and you have given them, like you paid a year in advance, we have a similar fund that you can access like that. We made it, you know, parallel changes so that it's quicker to access there too.
Does that include the YMCA, just out of curiosity?
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, but
because Stanford's, they're shut down, not, I don't want to say abruptly, but sort of. And a lot of people obviously had already paid for memberships for 2024. I don't know how that worked out, but I was just thinking off the top of my head.
If you are, if your listeners paid for a membership to the, you know, a gym, if it's the YMCA, and you are out money, call us or email us. You know, our website is very easy to find, either through Google or at ct.gov/DCP. And we can start the process for you.
Commissioner Caffarelli, I really appreciate you coming on the show once a month and really talking about things that impact the average consumer here in Connecticut and going over the legislative updates this morning. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you always. I look forward to next month. The time flies by, so thank you.
I know, right? Seriously, time flies when you're having fun. I'm so excited to have you back on the show next month. Commissioner Caffarelli, thank you. I appreciate
it. Enjoy.
All right. Bye. Sounds good. Commissioner Brian Caffarelli with the Department of Consumer Protection here in Connecticut on WICC.